Hey, this is Joe Sullivan, and we've benched Chris Gasper. Our whole point of this is just to put the best people on the podcast in the interest of the podcast. We just want what's best for the podcast. Only kidding. Chris is out on assignment. I'm with Senior Assistant Sports Editor Scott Thurston and Patriots reporter Nora Princiati, and we're going to talk about the Patriots. Malcolm Butler. What else is there to talk about? It's Tuesday, the second day of the rest of your life, Patriots fans, and this is Season Ticket. All right, I haven't checked Twitter in about, 30 seconds. There's nothing new on Malcolm Butler. I would have thought by now the Saints would have traded for him and given the Patriots two first-round picks. Isn't that how it normally works? So I have Scott and Nora here. The Malcolm Butler situation still on my mind. The Patriots lost. Rumors about his benching. Nora, what do you know?
You know, there was a little bit of a sense of, are we going to learn about this big, explosive, horrible thing that Malcolm Butler did? And to everything that I've heard, in most ways sticks with what Belichick kind of said, except that Belichick said that there was no discipline involved. It sounded like there was, you know, a little bit of a disciplinary problem, but nothing extreme. We haven't heard about anything beyond maybe like a missed curfew or something to that extent. So still, I would say that everything we know paints a picture of this was really weird. Just to a four-quarter benching in the Super Bowl just is bizarre in terms of, you know, if a guy misses a curfew or has a rough week of practice.
So Nora is joining us on Skype. She's not in the room here with Scott and myself. But Nora, as you're talking, you can't see this. Scott Thurston shaking his head back and forth. No. Scott, what's on your mind here?
Nora, if this is true, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard of with Belichick. Like, as you say, a four-quarter benching, you could see what was clearly happening in this game. In the second half, he would have done something if it wasn't disciplinary.
You saying he's lying, Scott?
Well, something's going on. Just the way the game was headed. Obviously, Rowe wasn't cutting it. Johnson Bademosi wasn't cutting it. Jordan Richards hasn't made a play in 3 years. So something's going on with this organization and with Bill, the way he coached this game, if it wasn't disciplinary.
Right. Well, and so the thing is, you know, this is something we kill other coaches all the time for kind of changing the way that they do things when they play the Patriots. And I just have a hard time envisioning that there was anything that Malcolm could have done over the course of a week of practice. I mean, how bad could he have been that a guy who played 97% of defensive snaps would all of a sudden not play on defense? So there absolutely has to be something more. And from what we've heard, it sounds like there was a small disciplinary issue. But still, again, I mean, they've had situations like that in the past, and it hasn't resulted in a full game's worth of benching.
Right.
I mean, the guy played on one punt.
Right, and he's acknowledged he's had an up-and-down season, but even if you have a crappy practice week, that's not enough to bench a guy who, as you say, played nearly 98% of the snaps all year for the entire game. That just doesn't make sense.
We can't get into specifics about what he might have done if there was disciplinary action involved, because we just don't know what's true yet. So we have to be careful here. Besides, he was in the Mall of America in Minneapolis, actually Bloomington, Minnesota. How much trouble can you get in there? Did either of you get in trouble? They were Scott and Nora were both in Minneapolis, Bloomington. Did you get any trouble in the Mall of America, Nora?
Absolutely not. Although I couldn't tell you if I did. So, like, there are sharks at the mall. I went to the aquarium yesterday, and so you can see some sharks. You can ride a roller coaster.
I think there might be some places to get in trouble, but I don't think Malcolm Butler would have been there. But someone told me you went to the Maxim party, Nora. Is that true?
Wow. I've got to get my camp to keep things a little bit more buttoned up. You know, I did. I got the invite from our illustrious colleague, Mark Shanahan.
Oh, really? You got an invite from Shanahan to the Maxim party.
So Shanahan is the Globe's gossip columnist, that were, but a fun person. So you must have had a fun night if you were with Mark.
Oh, we had a blast. We had a blast. Actually, normal season ticket host Chris Gasper was there as well.
At the Maxim party?
Yeah.
See, you have to know people. I mean, I said to Shanahan, well, if you got like a plus one, I'll tag along with you to one of these parties. But, oh, yeah, sure. What time did I know.
What time did the party start, Mark?
probably, I think, 10-ish.
So Gasper had to take a nap, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's too late. Yeah.
Gasper and I were, you know, we were jamming to Cardi B. We were having fun.
There you go.
And just to confirm, you did not see Malcolm Butler at the Maxim party, correct?
I did not see Malcolm Butler at the Maxim party. Can right, confirm. Awesome.
Where the heck was he? He was at the Shake Shack too many times?
Nora, there is a story about him missing curfew, though. Has that been advanced down there at all?
Yeah, it seems like, yeah. But again, it's still boggles the mind, is that a missed curfew, which is consistent with everything that I've heard, not specifically, but just that there was a small disciplinary problem.
Right, and in terms of the coach, he always says he just does what's best for the team. Well, in this instance, you clearly did not do what's best for the team. Something got in the way here of him fulfilling that.
And we'll never find out from him.
No.
But maybe someone, you know, maybe the other side will tell us some of the truth about what went on there. But so now, what do they do with him? What are they going to do with him?
Well, he's not going to be back. There's just no way. Malcolm Butler has played one snap on special teams in his last game as a Patriot.
Scott, your thoughts on that?
No, I agree totally. He's not going to be back. But now you wonder how much money he may have cost himself by a benching in the Super Bowl. It doesn't get much worse than that. You know, I mean, he was looking for Stephon Gilmore type money. Yeah. You know, the 5 years, $65 million. You know, are the Saints going to, you know, the Saints were very high on him. Are the Saints going to pay him that kind of money now?
Yeah, well, and I mean, the Saints, when they had so much interest in him, that was before Lattimore turned out to be such a revelation.
Correct. And I never really thought he was a great fit for them anyways, nor in that division when you have to play, you know, Butler's undersized. When you have to play against guys like Julio Jones and Mike Evans, you know, that's a tough ask if you're bringing him in as a number one corner. I think he's clearly a number two.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I wonder if his contract will even get to the point that Logan Ryan's did last off season, you know, around $10 million a year.
Yeah, it was at three for 30.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
So this is going to cost him a lot of money, in addition to having to sit on the sidelines and watch his team lose the Super Bowl. That's a pretty rotten day, huh?
It really is. And you could tell just, you know, he had tears in his eyes as the anthem's being played, you know, which we were able to see after. And obviously he had just gotten the news that he wasn't going to play.
I do think in some ways, Scott and Nora, it's overrated in terms of how it affected the game. One defensive player doesn't change the outcome of a game. Maybe if you're talking about a quarterback, that might be the one individual that could affect the outcome of a football game. But when you have 22-plus players on the field at different times, I mean, anything could affect the outcome of a game. But I don't think the absence of one player really loses the game for the Patriots.
No, I totally disagree with that in this instance, only because defensively, the Eagles were 10 of 16 on third down. All you had to do was make really one stop.
If he could have made one or two of those plays, we could have had a completely different game.
One or two of those key third down stops, Nora, where in Butler, you know, he hasn't had an up and down season, obviously, but he is a sure tackler. We know that. I haven't seen the Patriots secondary miss so many tackles in a game as they did in this Super Bowl. It's like they were playing in week one and two again. So you make one stop, the game turns, and I think he would have been able to do that.
And Butler's also, you know, he, in some ways, has a better knack for some big plays than he has for, at least these days, this past season, being a really consistently, you know, high-level corner. He's been up and down, but he can make an impact play once in a while. And so you never know. I don't know. It's hard to say that it cost them the game, but, man, they didn't need a lot more. They just needed a little more.
Right.
I'll get the last word on this. I think as time goes by, this will really be overblown in terms of how it affected the result of the game. So that's it. That's the final word. We're going to take a break. More Patriots postmortem when we come back.
Straighten him out.
Stay
after
with us.
The break.
Welcome back. If you like season tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Scott Thurston and Nora Princiati. So Ben Volen, no disrespect to you, Nora, our football expert. I'm kidding. We have lots of football experts. But Ben wrote a very thoughtful story today about, we'll describe it as the uneasiness around the Patriots, just not with the Malcolm Butler situation, but look what's going on with them. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, took the job at the Detroit Lions yesterday as head coach. Josh McDaniel, the offensive coordinator with the Indianapolis Colts. Gronk suddenly talking about possible retirement in the post-Super Bowl press conference. And then the ESPN story about the tension between Belichick and Brady and Kraft, too. It denied at first, but as the week wore on in Minneapolis, pretty much everyone admitted it was kind of true. So let's start. Let's go back to the beginning there and start with Matt Patricia gone. How does that affect the team, Scott?
Well, Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator. So they will look now possibly to promote from within Brian Flores, the linebackers coach. Or you see a report that they're interested possibly in Greg Schiano from Rutgers.
Yeah.
Bringing him in as the defensive coordinator or assistant head coach.
Upstream red team.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really going to be interesting. And Nora can speak to this. Nora, you get the sense that Flores is really respected within the organization and that the players really enjoy playing for him. Were Belichick to turn to someone like Schiano and overlook Flores, you know, how do you think that would play out?
I don't think well. One of the things that players and, you know, other coaches, other staff members within the Patriots respect about Flores is just that he's put in his time and he's really earned it. And, you know, not that Schiano hasn't, over the course of his career in other places.
Well, let's just, the people who don't know, Greg Schiano is an assistant coach at Ohio State University right now.
Defensive coordinator.
But he was formerly a head coach at Rutgers, where at least three Patriot players played for him in college. He was the head coach at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers briefly. Didn't have a lot of success there.
Right.
Continue, Nora. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew.
I just think that if you go outside to one of Belichick's best buddies, as opposed to a guy who's really put in his time within the organization, has the respect of players, has the respect of colleagues, it's a bad morale play. What does that say to the other assistant coaches? And it seems like they could use a good morale play in that building right now. So I don't think, you know, I have a hard time seeing that happening with Schiano. And I also, we've talked a little bit, or we've written a little bit about the possibility that, you know, they could go on without either an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. And at least on the defensive side of the ball, I think that's unlikely too, because I think it would go a long way for them right now in terms of how much tension there is inside the building to reward someone who's done a good job for them and worked really hard for a long time.
You know, and Nora, speaking of morale, you know, one thing I'm going to be looking at now, Donta Hightower and Johnson Bademosi both reacted to the post that Brandon Browner posted on Instagram.
Man, Bill wasn't right at all tonight, man. I ain't know how to feel watching that without my homie playing or without Malcolm playing. I know rather to cheer for their ass. That dude done started every game for that team. You feel me? Since he picked ball off, and he was taking their number one dude at that. Congratulations to the Eagles, but that shit, you feel me, was weak. You know, they deserve that for not playing them.
I think it really, really pissed off some players. Am I allowed to say pissed off on the podcast?
No, stop it. No, I guess, okay. Look, it's a podcast. You can just don't go any further, all right? Just watch your potty mouth.
Sorry.
I do think that's the apt word, though. Continue.
Well, now I'm going to be benched for a disciplinary issue. But I do think that there were players in the locker room. In fact, I know that there were players in the locker room who were upset by the decision and felt like it hurt them on the field, felt like the coaching staff and Belichick in particular did something out of ego and sort of out of stubbornness that didn't put them in the best position to win, which is what he always says that he does do. So, yeah, I absolutely think that sort of the morale and just the vibe around the Patriots is going to be fascinating to watch in the coming months, because I don't think it's very good right now.
Right, and we know that Joe Judge, special teams coach, is likely to wind up probably on one of those two staffs of the coordinators, Patricia or McDaniels, with Indianapolis. So that's another loss and another key coach that Bill's going to have to replace.
Totally. And, you know, Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Fears, offensive line coach, running backs coach, those guys could potentially retire. You know, we don't know that for sure, but instead of going into a tumultuous offseason, working for a new person, it seems like those guys are people to watch, more people on that list of guys who might not be back. And at that point, it's starting to get pretty long.
And that leads to Bill himself.
Yeah.
When you look at all the change and the turnover and the, as Norm mentioned, the tumultuous offseason that he faces, does he look at himself and say, you know, is it worth it for me to do this again?
He could leave at any time. There's no reason to stay in terms of, you know, his age, his finances. If he really wanted to stop coaching and just become some sort of consultant, a dream retirement type of situation, he could have whatever he wants.
And then we'd really know about how much the tension played a part mm-hmm. with Kraft. You're right. If he wants to stick it to Kraft and just say, you know what, I'm done with this.
A lot of speculation here, though, folks. There's been no real indication about this, except that Belichick, as usual, won't answer a direct question about him staying. But that could be just him. It's his first inclination rather than him probably concealing something.
It would have been very easy for him yesterday, though, Joe, just to say, you know what, we've talked about this. Absolutely, I'm back next year.
Yeah, he didn't. That's for sure. And lastly, let's just mention Gronk. Poor Gronk, his home was burglarized when he was gone at the Super Bowl. And so we're going to have more about that on Globe.com and in the Globe tomorrow. Our news reporters are on the ground in Foxborough for that. But the idea that he would even talk about retiring, Nora, really, I understand it, but I still found it stunning. Did you?
Yeah. Oh, certainly. I mean, one of the moments that I'll always remember from that Super Bowl was the Hail Mary that he didn't catch at the end of the game. And I've never heard a stadium, and this is partially because we were in an open-air press box, but I've never heard a stadium go from so loud to just for a moment so quiet, because it wasn't clear that he hadn't caught it immediately. And everyone, you could have heard a pin drop just for a couple seconds. So that to me was just, you know, he does things on the football field that seem impossible to do all the time. And he put the fear that he could have done it again into all of those Philly fans in the stadium. And so a guy who can still play like that and still has played like that and by all indications, you know, could certainly continue to do it next season and beyond, not really giving any assurances that he will keep playing, that came out of nowhere as far as I was concerned. After the game. That said, his family's really involved in his health, and who knows how they feel. He's certainly, you know, Gronk's financially doing just fine, and he's always said that he hasn't spent a penny of his salary money from football, so he would be in good shape if he wanted to retire, and it's a brutal game, and he's had plenty of injuries, but still, it would be really rare to see a player in that situation walk away.
Well, I think people forget, too, he's going to be 29 in May, I believe. He's played, eight seasons? He's played a lot of football, and to endure the number of surgeries that he's had, is it, seven or eight surgeries? Maybe three on his back alone?
Yeah, three back surgeries. He's broken his forearm twice.
Yeah, that's a lot to put your body through. That said, I still think he has a lot of football left in him. And to me, that's the biggest loss they could ever incur. Forget the coordinators. Forget the looming free agents, Deion Lewis and Burkhead and Nate Solder. If Gronkowski isn't back next year, that changes everything.
Scott, here's
absolutely.
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to retire and join the wrestling, professional wrestling.
That would be great, right?
Yes.
See Gronk in WrestleMania?
He's done it. He's been part of it before. I see it in the future.
It's not like that's easier on his body.
That would be the idea, yeah.
Let's see.
All right. Scott and Nora, thank you for coming on Season Ticket.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Absolutely.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Joe Sullivan in for Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.